Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Chav Ches. We left off Chav Zayin Amud Beis way too far up on the page. We left off probably about halfway down, honestly. Ki ha, the Mari Bar Isak is where we're going to start, which is too many lines to count, even up from the wide lines. But it's approximately halfway down the page. We're going to hopefully try to haul today and finish the end of the second perek of Maseches Ksuba. So we're going to start today. We're going to cover a couple of topics today. First, we're going to start with a discussion, continuing what we talked about yesterday, where we said that the shivcha of a woman, the maidservant of a woman, is not believed to testify as to the status of the woman. Why? Because she's too close to the woman, because we're afraid that she's going to lie. So yesterday, we drew a distinction between, there are two types of lying if you're a witness. Number one, there's withholding testimony. And number two, there's affirmatively lying. So we had said that whereas the shivcha of a woman would withhold testimony and refrain from testifying in order to protect her master, she would not affirmatively testify falsely. And we're going to pick up on that theme at the start of today's shiur, which I should mention is, of course, sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, also Lila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Lea Shalom. We're going to get to a Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, which was where I'd hoped to get to yesterday, but fell far short, about what happens if somebody himself testifies that his wife is Tahora, even though she was held captive. Is there any situation where the person himself may be believed? That leads us to a situation where you have people who are unable to remain married to each other, either because of the situation that we've been discussing, that the woman was violated and the marriage has to terminate. Are they allowed to live together? Are they allowed to live in the same chatzar? Are they allowed to live in the same community? How about people who are divorced? Are they allowed to live in the same community? What if the person got remarried? Are they then allowed to live in the same community? So, interesting halachos about that, and who has to move out if one of them has to move out. And then the parak concludes with a discussion of people who are believed to testify even in their adulthood what they saw in their childhood. There are certain things that a person is believed to remember and testify about even years after they saw it. So for example, if somebody says, this is my father's handwriting, or this is my Rebbe's handwriting, or I remember when I was a kid that a certain kid used to get truma at the Beis HaGoren. So we're going to see there are certain things that a gadol is believed to testify about from his childhood, and certain things that a gadol is not believed to testify about from his childhood. And the general principle is that if there's something that's a testimony midirabanan, then a person is allowed to testify based on a recollection of what happened in his childhood. Whereas if something is either a testimony midiraisa, or if something is a testimony where you're actually collecting money from somebody, where you're being motzi mamon, then to be motzi mamon, we're not going to allow you to testify in your adulthood based on what you recall from your childhood. So let's begin again about halfway down the page. First word on the line is Asya, and we are going to start with the second to last word on the line, Kiha. And again, the Kiha is just like we saw yesterday, that a shivcha of a woman may withhold testimony on her behalf, but won't affirmatively lie in order to protect her. Kiha de Mari Bar Isak. It's like a case of Mari Bar Isak. Ramila Chana Bar Isak. Others say it was Chana Bar Isak. Asale Acha mi Bei Chaza. So a brother came from Bei Chaza. How did a brother come from Bei Chaza? Because their father moved to Bei Chaza, had a child. This guy then comes back to Mari Bar Isak and says, by the way, when the father died, I am your brother and I want a share of the Yerusha. So Amarlei, plugli b'nechsei d'abba, he says, listen, I'm your brother, I want a share of the Yerusha. Amarlei, lo yadana lecha, I said, I don't know who you are, you're not my brother. So also l'kameh d'Rav Chista, so he came before Rav Chista, so Amarlei shapri kamrit la. No, he's saying good, d'chsev v'yakar Yosef esachiv, v'heim lo ikiru, that Yosef recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. Melameh sheyatsa b'lo chasim hazakan, abob chasim hazakan, because when he left them, he didn't yet have a beard. When they saw him later in Mitzrayim, he did have a beard. So it is possible, in other words, the Gemara is just using this as a melitza to suggest that it's possible that a person may not recognize his own brother. So he said, Amar le zilai si sadi da'achvat. So he said to the guy who came from Bechazah, he said, go bring a raya that you're Mori Bar Isaac's brother, and then I will let you collect your share of the Arusha. So Amar le isli sadi, he said, I do have witnesses who could testify. However, umastina mine de gavra alamahu. But they were afraid of Mori Bar Isaac. They were afraid to testify on my behalf and claim that Murray owes me a share of the Arusha, because Murray is a strong man. He's like a mafiosi, and they're afraid to testify because they're afraid that Murray is going to take out revenge on them. So Amarleli today, so then Rav Chisda said to Murray Barissa, Xilai sinu at delav achuchu. He says, maybe you should bring a raya that this guy is not your brother, because he can't bring a raya that he is your brother, because the witnesses are too intimidated by you. So you bring a raya that he's not your brother. Samarle, dinachi. So Murray Barisik says to Rav Chisda, what is this, vigilante justice? I mean, this is not the halacha. Hamotzi mechavero, olav haraya. He wants to be motzi from me. He wants to claim that he's entitled to a share of the Arusha. He's got to bring the raya. It's not myself who has to bring a raya that he's not my brother. So Malaysa, Rav Chisda said, you're right generally. However, this is what I do when it comes to you and all of your henchmen. In other words, and anybody who's like a mafiosi like you is very intimidating, where there are people who are afraid to testify against this person. So I basically flip the script and I say, oh, well, because we can't expect them to testify against you, you're going to have to testify against them. And Tosfos over here points out that we're not going to have time to read it inside, but Tosfos points out that the situation is like this, that Rav Chisda would only flip the halacha only when the guy had a very long-standing reputation as being a strong man, as being somebody who's very intimidating. In other words, if there was a fellow who was known to Beis Din as being a very intimidating guy, and therefore no witnesses would ever come testify against him, in that situation we would reverse the general paradigm of Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. But if the only reason we know that the guy is an intimidating strong man is because the Baal Din, his adversary, says, oh, I would bring witnesses, but the witnesses can't testify because this guy is too big a strong man, he's too intimidating, but we don't know independently that he's got that reputation, then we wouldn't do that, because then every Baal Din would say, oh, I have witnesses, but they can't testify, sorry, because the guy's too intimidating. It's only when he's a known quantity of being very intimidating. But says the Gemara, the reason that we're bringing all this down now is Hashtanami Asur Mashakri. Well, what purpose was served in telling Murray Bar Isaac that he had to bring witnesses, that the other guy was not his brother? Because if Murray was such an intimidating, if like Murray was the godfather, then the witnesses would lie on his behalf. So what benefit is there to say that, oh, the other guy is not going to find witnesses, but you bring witnesses? These witnesses are going to testify whatever in the world Murray wants them to say. Says the Gemara, no, Tarti Lo Avdi, because no. They might withhold testimony, but they're not going to affirmatively lie on Murray's behalf and say that this guy is not his brother. So says the Gemara, Lema Ketanoi. So let's say that this is like the Machlokas Tanam. Zu Edus Ish. This is the Edus Ish. In other words, this Edus of Ashvuya, everybody is allowed to testify. Ish, v'isha, tinok, v'tinokes, avia, v'ima, her father, her mother, even a child, v'achev, v'achosa, a brother or sister, avalobina, but a child is not, but her son, ubita, her daughter is not believed to testify if she's a shvuya as to whether she's permitted to her husband, lo avda, v'shiv chasa, nor her servant or her maidservant. But then we have another brisa that says, Hakol nemanin lehayir chutzmei meno bala. Everybody's believed to testify for Shvuya except for herself and her husband, meaning that even her maidservant is believed to testify. So isn't the machlokas about whether we're afraid that the Shifcha is actually going to affirmatively provide false testimony? Are we afraid only that they're going to withhold, or are we afraid that they're going to provide affirmatively false testimony as well? So the Rapapi, the Ravashi, Tanoi, according to Rapapi and Ravashi, then it's definitely a Machlokas Tanoi, because they accept Eidos of the Shifcha of the woman, and therefore they will have to concede that the first Brisa argues on them. The Rav Papa, however, the Rav Papa, how about Rav Papa, who says that her Shifcha cannot be made? So Milema Tanoi, so is it actually a Machlokas? In other words, do one of these Brisas necessarily have to prove that we do accept the Eidos of a Shifcha of the woman, of the Balas Din? So mile metanoihi, so amr lechara papa, kitanya iba mesicha lefi tuma. No, maybe none of these brisos say that the testimony of the shifcha of a woman is accepted. We have the first price that says expressly the testimony of the shifka of the woman is not accepted. And in the second brisa, where it implies that the testimony of the shifka of the woman is accepted, we're dealing with a case where it's not testimony, it's stream of consciousness speaking and stream of consciousness speech. As we've seen, Messiah Klifi Tumo, there's going to be a situation where even those who are ineligible to provide testimony are going to be believed if they're speaking in a stream of consciousness, if they're Messiah Klifi Tumo. And the Gemara now proves that point. Tigna mishtoi maisa ba lifnei Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that the maisa happened for Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rama Rabbi Shua ben Levi mishtoi maisa ba lifnei Rabbi, or Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that a maisa came before Rabbi. But adam echashay mesiach lefitumo, with a guy who was being mesiach lefitumo, who was speaking a stream of consciousness. V'yomer anivi imi, it says that I and my mother nishbinu levein ovdei chachavim, we were captured among the ovdei chachavim. Yatzasi l'shamayim daiti alimi, whatever I did, my mind was always on my mother to make sure that she wasn't violated. Lul kodetzim daiti alimi, whether I was drawing water, cutting wood, my mind was always on my mother. I was always guarding her. And Rebbe allowed her to marry a Kohen because of this account of the son. A son is one of the people that we said in the Brisa, his testimony is not believed on the mother. The answer is, you're right, the testimony is not believed. This is Messiah Klifi Tumo, so it's different. Says the Mishnah now, Amar Rav Zechariah ben Akasov, says Rav Zechariah ben Akasov, Ma'on Azeh, it's a lashon of a... it's a lashon of shvua. Lo zaza yada mitoch yadai mishah shenichlesu avdei kachavim liyerushalayim vaad shayatsu. That he was basically testifying as to the purity of his wife. That even though Yerushalayim was under siege, he's testifying that she was not violated. Amar lo ein adamei alasmo. And they said, what can we do? I mean, you're a big tzaddik. But a person can't be made on himself. Now, a person can't be made on himself either because he's an ogea. But this isn't being made on himself. This is being made on his wife. So the Achronim point out, A, it really is like being made on himself because ishto kagufo, so halachically it is like being made on himself. Or they say the reason that a person can't be made on himself is because we're afraid that he's going to lie, because he's obviously self-interested. Here, where he's testifying as to the status of his wife, whether his wife is able to remain with him, because Rabbi Zechariah ben Akasov was a Kohen, and if his wife was violated, she would not be able to remain with him. Obviously, he's self-interested. He's got a vested interest in the testimony, and therefore, we're also afraid he's not going to testify truthfully. The Achronim ask, why wouldn't she be believed to say that she's Tahora, because she could have hid in one of the hiding places that we were talking about in yesterday's daf. Remember, in yesterday's daf, we said if there's a hiding place, then every woman is thought to be the woman who was in the hiding place. So the answer is, because this is after Yerushalayim was destroyed, and after the Churban, all of the hiding places were uncovered, and therefore there was no Migo that she could have said that she was in a hiding place. Okay, says the Gemara now, Tana, v'afal pikein yichad la bayis b'chatzero, even though Rabbi Zechariah ben Akasov had to leave his wife because she was violated and he was a Kohen, he couldn't remain with her, he kept a house for her in his chatzer, uchshi yotza, however, when she would leave the house, Yotza Barosh Banea, when she would leave the chaser, she would walk out first, after her, followed by her children. Uchshi Nechneses, and when she would enter the chaser, Nechneses Besof Banea. She would enter after her children, and all this was to make sure that she was never miyached with Zechariah ben Akasov in the courtyard. Therefore, she would make sure she was not the last one into the out of the courtyard. She would make sure that she was not the first one into the courtyard. The Achronim bring a raya from here that a chatzi shir is asur by yichud, because the shir yichud, there actually is a shir yichud. That's why after a chuppah, the chasan and kala go into the yichud room and they stay there for an amount of time, 9 minutes, six, whatever it is. But there's an amount of time, which is a shir yichud. There's no way that it took her 9 minutes. She didn't have like this massive, like 4-acre property. It didn't take her 9 minutes to leave the courtyard. But we see over here, obviously, that a chatzi shir of yichud is also usur, even though it would have been only for a small period of time, it would have been usur to be miyachid. So they conducted themselves to this very high standard. So says the Gemara, Sabaya Baya Ma Lasos Begrusha came. What about by a grusha? If you're divorced from your wife, are you allowed to live in the same chatzar as her? So also moved to b'shvuya ikilu. Maybe over there she was a shvuya, and by shvuya we're mekel, as we've seen. Hachalo, but by a divorced woman, maybe we're not going to be mekel. Odilma loshnar, maybe it doesn't make a difference. So tashma d'tanya hamagaris es isha lo tinase b'shchunato. If a person is divorced, they really shouldn't live in the same neighborhood. Why? Rashi explains, because they're so familiar with each other's tendencies and with each other's habits and the signals, and we're just afraid that it's too close and they're gonna fall into some sort of illicit relationship. Says the Gemara, Vim Lahaya Kohen, turning to Chav Chesamed Aleph, and if he's a Kohen, Lotidurimo, Bemavui, then she's not allowed to live with him in the Mavui. In other words, that by a Kohen, unlike by Yisrael, that the problem with living with his divorced wife is only if she's remarried, because so long as she's not remarried, let them get remarried. It's not a problem. The Kohen obviously is not allowed to remarry his divorcee, because the Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha. Therefore, by Yisrael, the only problem with it is after she's already remarried. By a Kohen, it's even if she's not remarried, if she's stam divorced from him, they're not allowed to live even in the same Mavui. But in Kfar Katan, and if it's a Kfar Katan, if it's like a very small village, Zaya Maisa Vemru Kfar Katan, Idan Kishkuna, that a Kfar Katan is like a shchuna, and therefore by a Kohen who is divorced from his wife, it is usur for them to live together in the same neighborhood. So even though they permitted the shvuya to live in the same neighborhood as Zachariah ben Akatsav, that was only because it was a shvuya and they were mekel by a Kohen. Had they been divorced, it would have been a different story. They would not have been allowed to live in the same neighborhood. Says the Gemara, okay, now I know one of them has to move. The question is, who? So, mi nitcha mibnei mi? Who's got to leave the neighborhood? So, tashma d'tanya, he nitchas mipanav, vein hu nitcha mipanea, that she has to leave, not him. V'moisa chatzar shela, but if it's her chatzar, if she owns it, then hu nitcha mipanea, then obviously he's the one who has to leave. So, yiboyelu, haisa chatzar shel shnei mahu. Let's say it was community property. They owned it jointly. So it was a husband and wife. They were previously married. They owned the property jointly. So tashma, he nitches mipanav. So no, she has to leave in that case. So b'may yaskinan, ilema b'chatzar shalo, if it's his chatzar, then pshita, then of course that she's the one who has to leave. It's his chatzar. Ve'lo b'chatzar shalo. So it must be her chatzar. V'atanya, imaysa chatzar shalo, hu nitcha mipanav. But we just said that if it's her chatzer, then she's not going to have to leave, of course, because it's her chatzer. He's got to yield to her, and he's got to leave the chatzer. Elalav kiay gavna. So aren't we talking about a case where it's jointly owned, and yet we say that it's she who has to leave? Says the Gemara, maybe that we're not talking about a case where it's jointly owned at all. Dilma de ager megar. Maybe we're only talking about a case where the chatzer is rented. So my avialah, okay, so it's inconclusive what case exactly this Bryce is talking about, but what's the deal with a situation where they jointly own a chatzer, or they jointly own a house and a chatzer? Who's got to leave? We said that they can't live together in the same chatzer. Who's the one who has to leave? So tashma, hini Hashem metalalecha, tiltala gever, that Hashem will cause you to wander the wandering of a man. Now, why does it say the wandering of a man? It could just say the wandering of a person. V'yamarav tiltule de gavra kashem mi de isisa. When a man wanders, it's much more difficult on him than when a woman has to wander. It's much more difficult for a man to sort of find his bearings if he doesn't have a home base. And therefore, min adin, she should have to leave, because if one of them has to leave and it's going to be more difficult for him to leave, then we're going to make her leave. Says the Gemara, another anhaga about how divorced people should conduct themselves with one another. So Tana Rabbanan Lovei Min Abenichse Avia, if he borrowed from the nechasim of her father, or Einin Efras Elay Yadei Acher, it's kedai that they not be miyached when he pays her back, that he should only pay back the loan through an intermediary. Amrav Sheishas V'yasu L'kamon Ladina Lomas Dakinan, that, and if he comes to din because he tried to pay back the loan by himself without using an intermediary, in other words, he was trying to transact directly with his ex-wife, that's not appropriate, and we're not going to pay any attention to him. So Rapapa Amar Shmuti Mashmatina Lu, no, we're actually going to put him in Cherem, and Rav Huna Breed Rav Yeshua Amar Negudi Nami Magdina Le, we're even going to give him Malkus, because he should not play with fire, he should not... he should not be engaging directly with his ex-wife. Tosfos points out that obviously these are building on each other, and if Rav Papa says that you're putting cherem and Rav Huna says that you also get malchus, it means you get malchus on top of being put in cherem, because each one is being more stringent than the other. So Amar Rav Nachman, Tana Be'evel Rabasi. We learn in Mesachas Evel Rabasi, Bamedvar Mamurim, Shenesh Garsha Minanasuin. That's only when they're divorced after being married. Avol Kenishes Garsham in Erisin, but if they're only divorced from Erisin, then Efres Ayde Atzma, then they could transact with one another directly without an intermediary. Shein Libo Gaspa, because the whole reason that we don't want them together and we don't want them transacting with one another is we're afraid it's gonna come Lide Avera, because we're afraid that they're gonna start up the relationship again. However, if they were divorced only from Erisin, they were never that familiar with each other, so we don't really have to be afraid that they're going to commit an avera. Hahu arus varusaso. There was an arus and an arusa. There was an engaged couple. Dasa lakame de Rava. They came before Rava. Yosef Rava de Ramasna kame. Uki Rava shlucha bentayu. And Rava put a shliach between them. Samarle Rava de Ramasna vamar Rav Nachman tana bevel Rabasi. But it says in Evel Rabasi that the only time we need an intermediary is when they were married and then divorced. But if they were engaged and divorced from the engagement, they don't require an intermediary. I see that they're very familiar. They're very comfortable with one another. And therefore, even though they were only engaged before being divorced, I felt it appropriate to put an intermediary. What's Evel Rabasi? So Evel Rabasi, Rashi points out, is Meseches Smachos. It's Meseches Smachos, and Smachos has to do with halachas of Avelas and death. And why do we call it Meseches Smachos? Although in the Gemara over here, it calls it Evel Rabasi or Avel Rabasi. And the first Mishnah in the Mesechta, says Rashi, starts with the word Hagoses. It talks about a Goses, somebody who's on death's door. Now, generally speaking, we call a Mesechta by one of the first words that are mentioned in the Masechta. So the question is, why don't we call this Perek or this Masechta Hagoses? Why are we calling it Avel Rabasi? So we learn from here that you're not supposed to call Masechtas by bad things. Like Goses is a person who's on death's doorstep, and therefore that's a bad thing. Therefore we'll call it Avel Rabasi and not Meseches Hagoses. But in any event, the question was, why did he require an intermediary? We see that you only require an intermediary when they're divorced from marriage, because it's only then that they're very familiar with one another. He said, no, even though they were engaged, I see they're very familiar, and therefore I'm going to require an intermediary. Ika da Amri, a couple of lines before the Mishnah, lo ikui Rava shliach bentayu, that Rava did not insist on an intermediary. Amalei Rava da Ramasa nekamar shlucha bentayu, and Rava da Ramasa says, why don't you have a shliach between them? Amalei v'amar Rav Nachman tana bevel Rabasi, but it says that you only need the shliach after they're divorced from marriage, but not if they're divorced from engagement. Amalei hani mi le'echad lo gayis b'dodi, aval hani kachazin anlu de gayis b'dodi. He said, yeah, but that's only because ordinarily they're not familiar with one another, unless they were in a divorce from being married. But over here, even though they were only divorced from Erisin, I see that they're very familiar with one another, and therefore, if it were me, I would require an intermediary between them. Okay, says the final Mishnah in the Perek. Says Ve'elu Nemanim Le'eid Bigdolan Masharo Bikotnan. These are the people who are believed in their adulthood to testify what they saw in their childhood. Nemanomer Lomer Zeksav Yado Shel Abba. A person is believed to say that this is the handwriting of my father. Now the Ritva points out parenthetically that if the person is testifying as to the handwriting of his father, then what it must mean is that a relative is believed for Kiyam Shtaros, because the whole reason you'd be trying to verify the testimony, the handwriting of your father is to prove that his signature is his signature for the purpose of Kiyam Shtaros. How is a Karov allowed to testify for Kiyam Shtaros? I thought a Karov is ineligible to serve as a witness. So the Ritva explains that Kiyam Shtaros doesn't have the same din of Eidus, because the paradigm of Eidus is an edus shata yachol lazimo. It's an edus where I could have edim zomimim, like imanu ha'isim. You could not have possibly testified because you were with us in Chicago at that time. So you couldn't have testified what happened in the five towns. But by Kiyam Shtaros, there's no such thing as Zomimim, therefore it's not like real Eidus, and because it's not real Eidus, we're going to believe even the testimony, not testimony, we're going to believe even the verification of a Karov. So a person is believed to say, this is the handwriting of my father, because he would have studied, he'd be in such awe of his father, he would have studied the handwriting of his father, and he always was with his father, so he was very well familiar with the handwriting of his father. And a person is also believed to say that this is the ksav yad of his Rebbe, because again, he's very, very respectful of his Rebbe, and therefore he was paying very close attention to all of the Rebbe's mannerisms, as well as to his handwriting. And this is the ksav yad of my brother. Person's also believed to say, that I remember a certain woman went to her wedding, Bihinuma. That was one of the signs that we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, is a siman that she was a Basula, Verosha Parua, and her hair was uncovered. Again, a siman that she was a Basula, Vishahaya Ishploni Yotzame Besa Sefer. And I remember that somebody used to leave Yeshiva, Litbol to Bitova, Lechol Betruma, in order to testify that he's a Kohen, Vishayacholikimanu Ala Goren, and that he used to get a share of Truma from the Goren as well. And a person is believed to say that this place is a Beis HaPras. And here is where the Tchum Shabbos is. So a person is believed to testify as to all of this type of stuff, even if he has recollections from his childhood. Aval ein adam neman lomar derech hayel aploni b'makom hazeh. But a person is not believed to say that so and so had an easement through somebody else's field, maimon emispad hayaploni b'makom hazeh, or that somebody else had an easement in order to make haspedim in the property of somebody else. And Rashi points out that the reason that a person is not believed to testify as to these sorts of things is because that is afuke mamona. Because when you're testifying that somebody had a right to use somebody else's property, you're causing the property owner a loss, and we're not going to cause the property owner a loss on the basis of testimony that you recollect as a child. Aye, says Rashi, but testifying that a woman is a basula, or that a woman was a basula when she got married, also is causing somebody a loss, because there could be a dispute between the husband and the wife as to whether the ksuba is 200 or 100. So if you're testifying that she's a basula, you're causing a loss to the husband because you're causing him to pay a ksuba of 200. Says Rashi, that's not really your testimony, because most women, when they got married, are basulos, and therefore you're just sort of verifying that this was the robe at work. Whereas if you're testifying somebody actually had an easement through somebody else's property, you're causing them a monetary loss. That we're not going to allow you to do based on testimony that you recollect from your childhood. Says the Gemara as follows, three lines down in the wide lines. Amravuna Braid Rav Yeshua Vushayesh Gadalimo, that the only time the adult is believed to testify based on what he recalls as a childhood is if there is a gadol with him. However, this is only in those situations where you require two edim. For example, two edim to testify that the woman was a basula when she got married. Two edim to provide kiyam shtaros. That requires two edim, meaning one of the edim can be this guy recalling what he remembers as a kid. The other has got to be a real gadol. However, there are certain cases in the Mishnah, for example, testimony that this field is a Beis HaPras, testimony that this guy was a Kohen, where we don't need two edim, then this person is going to believe to testify even on his own. Says the Gemara now, Vitzricha, we need all these cases in the Mishnah. Diashmin and Aviv, if we want to say that if we would have told us that that a person is believed to testify that this is the handwriting of his father, Mishram Dishchiyach Kabeh, because he was always with his father, so he's very familiar with what the father's handwriting looked like. Avol Rabo Lo, but not to testify as to the handwriting of his Rebbe, because he wasn't with him as often. Viashmina Rabo, and if you want to say that he's believed to testify that this is the handwriting of his Rebbe, Mishum Dislay Amos Rabbe, Emsa the Rabbe, because he was so captivated by his Rebbe, because he was so in awe of him, that's why he paid special attention to what the Rebbe's handwriting looked like. Avol Aviv Lo, but he didn't hold his father on such a high pedestal, and therefore maybe he's not believed to testify as to the handwriting of the father. Viashmina Nani Tart, of if the Shkia Chabeva Rabbi Dislay Aimse. because the father, he was always with him. The Rebbe, he was in awe of him. Aval achiv de lesle lo aval oha emilo. But his older brother, where he is not in awe of him and he was not always with him, maybe he should not be believed to testify as to his handwriting. Kamash malan, kiven the kiyam shoros midrabanan, and niyam rabanan karabanan. No, because kiyam shoros is only midrabanan, that by a davar to rabanan, they believed the testimony of the relative. Because, and Rashi points out that it's heim amru v'heim amru, the rabanan are the one who said that you need kiyam shoros to begin with. So the rabbanan are allowed to say that somebody who's generally ineligible to provide testimony is able to provide kiyam shoros, because the whole concept of kiyam shoros is only a creature that is only a creature which is midir rabbanan. Okay, so says the Gemara now Viter. Says the Gemara as follows. There's a Tosfos here which is interesting, but we really need to finish the perek, so we're not gonna talk about it. Says the Gemara now Viter. Zachariisi beplonis sheyatsa binuma v'rosha parua. I remember that a woman was a besula when she got married. So my time, so what's the reason? So we already alluded to this. That kiven derob nashim besulas nisos gila milso ba'almahu. This is not considered a testimony. This is considered a gilui milso. Why? Because most women, when they got married, are besulos, and therefore this guy is just verifying that this woman, when she got married, was also a besula. Vishaya ishpon yotzim ebesa sefer litpo lechol betruma. And this person is also allowed to testify in his adulthood what he recalls from his childhood about somebody toveling after school, after yeshiva, to eat truma, v'dilma eved kohenu, but maybe it was an eved kohen, maybe it wasn't a kohen, maybe it's an eved of a kohen. Messiah le'le Rabbi Shua ben Levi, so it's a riot to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, dem Rabbi Shua ben Levi, also lodem she'ilame des avdo Torah, that a person is not allowed to teach his eved Torah. So how do we know that this kid was a kohen and not an eved kohen? Because the testimony was, I remember, after yeshiva, they would take him and they would be tovel him. And if he was an Eved, he never would have been in yeshiva. Says the Gemara, Velova, Tanya, Lovim, in a Rabbo, Oshasa Rabbo. But we saw that if his master borrowed money from the slave, or if the master made the slave an apotropos, turning to Chavkes on the days, Osheniach Tfilin Vivnei Rabbo, or if the Eved put on Tfilin in front of his Rebbe, Oshay Korish Losha Psukim in Beis HaKnesses, or if he leaned in the Beis HaKnesses, he got an Aliyah, Hareza Lo Yetze L'Cheres, he cannot go, it's not a symbol of Cheres, it's not a symbol of the master freed him. So over here we're talking about where the Eved is learning in the Beis HaKnesses. So how can you tell me that it's Usher to teach your Eved Torah? Hasam Dikra Eved Midaito. Who says that the master was teaching the Eved Torah? It says that the Eved read in the Beis HaKnesses. So the Eved read in the Beis HaKnesses. He was learning in the Beis HaKnesses. But it wasn't the master. So says the Gemara, Ki Amrinan Dekan Nog Bein Minagbanim. No, what we're talking about is that a person is not able to treat his Eved like a child, meaning you're not able to take him to yeshiva to make sure he gets a Jewish education. All that stuff you're not supposed to do with the Eved. If the Eved picks up a chumash on his own, you don't have to slap the chumash out of his hand. No problem with that, but you're not supposed to affirmatively teach him like you would teach a child. The problem, the Ron explains, the reason that we're not noeg with an Eved like a child is because he lives in your house, and we're afraid that if you conduct yourself with him as you do with your son, people are going to mistake him for being the Yisrael, and a Jewish woman is going to get into a relationship with his Eved. That obviously is going to be a very big problem. Okay, says the Gemara, litpol lechol betruma, that they would take him to be tovel ti truma. So says the Gemara, betruma v'drabanan. If we're going to accept the testimony that this guy is going to give us as an adult, based on what he remembers as a kid, we're not going to allow the person to eat truma midoraisa on the basis of his testimony, but it's only truma midrabanan. V'shayecholik imo b'alagoren, says the Gemara, but again, why is the fact that he was being cholik alagoren a raya that he's a kohen? V'dilma eved kohenu. Maybe he was an eved of a kohen. Tanan, command yamar in cholkin truma la'eved elem kain rabo imo. No, because this brisa holds, like the Mishnah, that we are not cholik truma to an eved unless his master is with him. Tanya, ein cholkin truma leved elim kein rabo imo divri Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yosi Omer Yachol Hu Shayomer, that we are cholik to the eved even without the master, because the guy has the following taina: im kohen ani tnu li bishvil atzmi. If I'm a kohen, so then I deserve truma. Vim eved kohen ani tnu li bishvil Rebbe. And if I'm an eved of a kohen, give me truma, because an eved of a kohen is entitled to truma, so give me on account of my master. So what was the cause of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, who said that we would not be cholek truma to an eved, and Rabbi Yossi, who said that we would be cholek truma to an eved? It was because b'mkomosh Rabbi Yehuda hayamalim truma liyuchsin. Because in the city of Rabbi Yehuda, they would be malim truma liyuchsin. If they saw somebody getting truma, they would elevate him for the purpose of yichus as well, for the purpose of marrying a woman of untainted lineage, and therefore, if we see this guy getting truma, it's going to be gefarlich because we're then going to allow him to marry a woman, or marry a Jewish woman, but the guy's an eved. So therefore, in order to prevent that, we are not cholek truma to him. However, in the city of Rav Yossi, they would not be malim truma liyuchsin, and therefore there was no danger. Even if we did see him getting truma, we would never make the next step. We would never elevate him for the yuchsin purposes on the basis of the fact that we see him getting truma. Tanya, Amar Rav Elazar Rav Yossi, Miyamei Lo Adati, I never testified as to anybody getting truma. Pam Achas Adati, one time I did testify. Ve'elu Eved L'kuna Al-Piv, and the result was they wound up elevating an Eved to Kahuna for yuchsin purposes, which is horrible. So hello Sal Kadaitach. Hashta Mabemtan Shel Sadiqim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Al Yodam, even the Behemoth of Sadiqim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring Takala through them. Sadiqim Atzman Lo Kolshkein, Sadiqim Atzman certainly is not going to bring Takala on you know, through them. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean? This appears throughout Shas. And whenever we say that there's never a takala through behemtam shel tzadikim, it's only by macholos asuros. That's the only type of situation where there is no takala. But this isn't macholos asuros. Tosfos says, sure it is. What happened was it involved eating truma, and therefore it's considered to be a situation of macholos asuros. So how could it be that he testified and they elevated an evet to kahuna because of his testimony? That's a terrible takala, but we see takala doesn't come about through tzadikim. Says the Gemara, ela bikshu lalos evet the kuna al piv. No, it was like a close call, because Chazra Basar Rav Yossi, he saw the evet getting truma in the city of Rav Yossi, where even if the Eved got truma, they wouldn't elevate him to Yochsin. But he went to Rav Yehuda's city, where they would elevate me truma liyochsin. So the problem was that he switched locations. So where he testified, there was a grave danger. But in the end, the crisis was averted. They didn't actually elevate the Eved to Kahuna. Says the Gemara Vishkamakam Azeh Beis HaPrasu, and the guy's belief to testify based on what he recalls from his childhood that this place is a Beis HaPras. My taima, what's the reason that he's able to testify? Because Beis HaPras the Rabbanon, because it's only Midrabbanon. The Yom Rav Yudam Arshmol Menafeachah the Beis HaPras Vaholech, a person's allowed to blow in the Beis HaPras, he's allowed to walk in it because we assume the bones scatter. Rav Yudam Barami Mishmeid Rav Yudam Ar Beis HaPras Shanidash Tar, if it's plowed, then it's going to be, if it's trampled, it's going to be tar. My taima, EF Sharletzem Kisora Shalon Nidash Beregel, because it's impossible for an Etzem Kisora, which is the minimum shear of a bone, that remains there. Now, do we know for sure that there's no bone that size? No, but because the tumah is only midrabanan, we're going to be makel, and that's why this guy's testimony is believed. Vad kana yinu ban b'shabbos, allowed to testify as to the tchum. Shabbos ksaver tchum and drabanan, because tchum is only drabanan. Ve'inemam lomar derech haye l'ploni b'makam azeb. Ma'amid l'mispedoy l'ploni b'makam azeb. But he's not believed to testify as to an easement. My taima, why? Afuki mamona lo mafkina. This is what Rashi told us in the Mishnah, because we're not going to be mafkia mamon based on testimony as a kid. Tana rabanan. Neman atin mak lomar, atinuk was believed to say, kachamar li abba. He's believed to say, my father used to say that this family is Torah or Tamei. Torah v'tmeya sal kadaitach. How could a family be Torah or Tamei? Ela mishpachazu ksheira mishpachazu psula. I testify as to the status of a family. Shechalnu b'ktsasa shal beis ploni leploni, and we ate at the ktsasa, we're going to explain what that is, of bas ploni to ploni, sheinu molich and chala matanos leploni kohen. We used to bring chala matanos to a kohen. Ayde atzmo avaloya de achar. He's believed to testify if it was him who actually did it, but he's not believed to testify if it was somebody else. In other words, if he's testifying that the father sent truma with somebody else to a coin. The kulam and my obe kochavim and his gayerb, and all of these situations, if he was an akum and then he converted, eved v'nishtachrer, or if he's testifying as to what he recalls as an eved, einem on him. It's only he's allowed to testify what he saw as a child, not what he saw as an eved. Because that's mafia mammon, and we're not going to be motzi mammon. Rav Yochanan Mabroka amar nemanim. No, they are believers. Rav Yochanan Mabroka haya. What does Rav Yochanan Mabroka say they're believed to do? Ilei ma seifa doesn't mean that they're able to testify as to an easement. Afuki mamonu. We already said that a kid's not allowed to testify. We're not going to accept by testimony from a child or that he recalls as a child in order to be mafkia mani. Elo aresha. It's going on the resha. V'chulamaya eved v'kohen v'nesgayer eved v'neshtakra ein nemanim. Rav Yehuda ben Rav Yochanan ben Broka Omar nemanim that they are believed. So b'maykam if liyit hanakamas over kivin dovi kachavim, because he was an akam at the time that he's recalling lahayadayik, he was not paying attention. Rav Yochanan ben Broka over kivin the daiti leaguri made the kayadayik, because he knew he wanted to convert. He was paying attention, even though at the time when he's recollecting from, he was an akam. Mike tzasa, we said that a person's believed to say that he ate the tzasa of the daughter of Ploni to Ploni, the Tana Rabbanan. You have a brother who marries a woman who he shouldn't really have married. So his family members come, they bring a barrel of peiros, they crack it open in the middle of the street. We're afraid that maybe his kids are going to marry our kids, but he married a person of tainted lineage. Bo kachulachem dugma, take for yourself a token ladoros, shalo yisarvu zaro bezarenu, to make sure that his offspring never mixes with our offspring. Vizui ktsatsa shatinuk nemen lahayit alav. This is the ktsatsa that a tinuk is believed to testify on. He's believed to testify on it because they make this whole big procedure, this whole production, specifically so that it remains in his mind, so that it sticks in his mind. And that's why he's believed to testify as to this ktsatsa even after he becomes an adult. So we made it by the skin of our teeth. Tomorrow we begin the third parak of the Masechta. Everybody have a great day.